So we're gonna start from Nun Tes Amud Aleph, like the middle of the page, the 25th line. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. Ein lecha davar shekodem l'samet shel shachar el k'tores bilvad shenemar ba'boker ba'boker v'yukdam k'tores davar shenemar ba'boker ba'boker d'chsev v'hektir alav aharon k'tores amim ba'boker ba'boker l'davar shelo nemar bo elo boker echad. So first of all, the Gemara notes that the only thing that was done in the Beis HaMikdash prior to the Karban Tamet shel shachar was the k'tores. How do we know that? Because when the Torah talks about the k'tores, it says the word ba'boker twice, whereas by the Karban Tamet shel shachar it only says the word baboker once. The Imcha Dover Shemesakim Acher Tamit Shalbein Arbayim Elek Torres Veneros Ufesach Umechusar Kippurim Be'erev Apesach Shatovel Shenis Veocheles Pischol La'erev. Then the Gemara says that in terms of the Karban Tamit Shalbein Arbayim, so most activities had to be completed prior to that, with several exceptions. The first one was the afternoon Ktores that was brought after the Karban Tamit Shalbein Arbayim, the lighting of the Neros of the menorah. The offering of the Karban Pesach, of course, was done later in the day after the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. And then finally, if you had a person who was called a Mechusar Kippurim, a Mechusar Kippurim means, let's say you had a guy who was a Zav or a Metzora or whatever it was, so he already went to the mikvah, he's already basically Tahar. The only thing that he's lacking now are the Karbanos that he's required to bring. Now, in order for him to be able to partake of a Karban, specifically the Karban Pesach, he needs to still bring his Karbanos. So even though normally we don't allow a person to bring their own personal Karbanos after the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, as we spoke about yesterday, but this is an exception to the rule, because since this guy, the only way he's going to be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach is by bringing his own personal Karbanos, so the Gemara says we make an allowance in this case for him to bring his Karbanos, and then he goes to the mikvah, and then he can eat the Karban Pesach that night. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Af Mechusar Kippurim B'Shar Yimos HaShana, Shetovel V'Ochel B'Kadshim La'erev. So the Gemara quotes that according to Rabbi Yishmael, he says not only is this a halacha that applies on Erev Pesach, where if the guy needs to bring his Karbanos, we could bring it after the Karban Tamet Shel Ben Arbayim, this halacha is true even on a regular day in the year. In other words, let's say a guy wants to partake of a regular Karban, not the Karban Pesach, and the only way he'll be able to do so is by offering his personal Karbanos, he can still offer those after the Karban Tamet. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam alasana kama yavu aseid the Pesach sheish bokares v'ircha aseid the hashlama shein bokares elul Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka may umay the hayasei may hayasei. So the Gemara says this makes a lot of sense for erev Pesach, because as we pointed out already, so there's an isur aseid in the Torah that normally you're not allowed to bring any karbanos after the karban tamet shel ben arbayim. Now, so the one exception we're going to make to that rule is the guy who will be unable to partake of the Karban Pesach without his Karbanos. Because since Karban Pesach is such a severe type of an aseh, it's one of the only mitzvos aseh that carries with it a chi of karis if you don't do it. So it makes sense that mitzvah aseh to partake of the Karban Pesach will override the mitzvah aseh to not bring Karbanos after the Karban Tamet Shel Ben Arbayim. But when it comes to a regular guy or a regular day of the year where a person just wants to partake of a regular Karban, what right does that aseh have to trump the aseh of not bringing Karbanos after the Karban Tamid? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Ravina, Amar Rav Chista, Hacha Bechata, Sa'ofa Skinan, She'en LaMizbeach El Adama. So comes Ravina with one answer to this question and says that the case with which we're dealing here is a person who's bringing what's called a Chatas Sa'of. It's a Karban Chatas. It happens to be a bird. So we know, of course, from Sukkim and Parshas Vayikra that depending on one's financial standing, so, you know, if a person can't afford to bring an animal, they can sometimes bring an oaf, they can sometimes bring a Karban Mincha again, depending on how poor or rich they are. So let's say this guy can only afford to bring an oaf. So this guy, let's say he was a Metzora, now he's bringing a Chatas Sa'of. So the halacha is, in this case, you're not offering the emurim, you're not offering the innards, the intestines, the fats of the animal, of the bird, you're simply sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach. So according to Ravina, the isser of offering karbanos after the Karban Tamet Shel Ben Arbayim is only when you actually offer a karban, the intestines, the innards, the organs, the fats, all that stuff, that's part of the isser, but simply to sprinkle the blood of the karban on the Mizbeach is not included in that answer. So that would be one answer to the question. Then the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar, Afilu Tema Bechatas Behema, Mala Umalina Berosho Shal Mizbech. Rav Papa says, no, you can even suggest that we're talking about a regular karban, not a bird, a regular normal animal, and yet there would still be no Isser in this case. Why not? Because what the guy did was, is that He took the fats of the animal or the innards of the animal and put them on top of the mizbech. How does that solve anything? So by putting it on top of the mizbech, what he's essentially doing is that he's going to leave it there overnight. So the halacha is, normally, if you leave parts of a carbon overnight, it becomes noser, and you have to burn it the next day. But there's a unique exception, says Rav Papa, that if you left it on top of the mizbeach, that somehow it doesn't become noser, and therefore, technically speaking, you could still burn it the next day. So this would be a scenario where you would be allowed to bring a carbon even after the carbon tum and shalbein arbaim. So the Gemara says, okay, v'ha'ika asham. So that's all well and good for the carbon chata. So again, whether you want to say that it's a bird like Ravina, or you want to say that the guy left the innards of the animal on the mizbeach like Rav Papa, so either way, you can answer the question regarding the chatas that the person has to bring. What about the fact that, let's say, for example, a mitzora has to bring several karbanos, not just the chatas, but an asham and an ola as well. So how does this solve the problem for his other karbanos that he needs to bring? So the Gemara says, Bishlam alarav papa hainu demeilunla, elarav chista ma'ika lameimar. So the Gemara says, you could still solve this problem easily according to Rav Papa, because Rav Papa would just say the same thing by the asham. You just take the innards of the animal and leave it on top of the mizbech, just like you did for the chatas. But the question is, according to Rav Chista, according to Ravina, who says that this is a unique halacha by a bird, so a bird cannot be offered as a carbon asham. It can only be offered as a chatas or an ola. So how would Ravina and Rav Chista solve this problem? So the Gemara says, Amrei shekarim asham. They say simply, yeah, the case was where the mitzora or the guy who was tummy already offered the carbon asham. So the asham was offered earlier in the day before the carbon tummy shall be in Arbayim. For whatever reason, he did not get around to offering the chatas on time. So since the chatas is a bird, so as we pointed out earlier, that's enough to allow you to bring it after the carbon tummy. So then the Gemara says, okay, but v'ha'ika ola, what about the ola? The ola was a third carbon that the mitzora had to bring. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema ola lo ma'akva, maybe you'll suggest that, okay, that even though a mitzora is supposed to bring a carbon ola, but maybe if he doesn't bring it, it's not ma'akev. In other words, maybe he can still partake of kachim even if he doesn't bring the ola. The Gemara says, but it's not true. V'hasanya, Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, kishem shechatasu v'ashamu ma'akvenoso, kachu loso ma'akavtu. All three of the karbanos of the mitzora are ma'akev. They all prevent him from eating the carbon. He needs to bring the chatas, the ola, and the asham before he can partake of karbanos. So the Gemara says, okay, v'chi tema b'shakarva ola. So maybe you'll tell me, like we saw earlier by the asham, maybe the guy also already brought the ola earlier, and now he's just bringing the chatas after the carbon tamid. The Gemara says, no, that the Gemara says that's also not tenable, because umi karva ola, so kodem l'chatas or rishon, v'hasanya, v'hikriv asher l'chatas rishona, ma talmud lomar, im l'lami chetehe kodemes l'ola, harei kfar ne'amar v'es hashini yase ola kamishpat, ela zebana av l'chol chatos, shiyu kodmos l'chol olos habos imahen, v'kaim alanda afilu chatos of kodemes l'olas behima. The Gemara derives from these psukim in Parshas Vayikra that a person always has to bring the carbon chatas before the carbon ola. That's true even if the carbon chatas is a bird and the carbon ola is a regular animal. The Gemara says that's the din. The din is that carbon chatas always comes first. So the Gemara asks, what kind of scenario are you constructing where you're bringing the ola before you brought the chatas? It's not a tenable position. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rava, shiny olas mitzora, derachamana amar ve'he'elah ha'kohenes ha'ola, shehela kvar. So comes Rava, and Rava says that the case of mitzora in particular is an exception to the rule. Why? Because the pasuk says in Parashas Mitzora that the Kohen is bringing up the Ola. The Gemara derives from that pasuk Shehe'el Akfar, that the Ola was already offered. So the Gemara says, even though in general the halacha is that a chatas must be offered before an Ola, for whatever reason, the Gemara derives from this pasuk that Mitzora is the one exception to the rule. So there could be a scenario by a Mitzora where you already offer the Ashem and the Ola prior to the Karban Tamid. It's simply the Karban Chatas which you're offering later, which again, as we pointed out earlier, because it's a bird, so you could still sprinkle the blood on the mizbech, and that would not pose a problem. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Shemen bar Abba le Rav Papa, le didach de Amar malo melina barosho shal mizbeach, kayamin va'avdina nosa lakohanim de asu bali de takala, de savre di yomehu va'asu la'akture. So now comes Rav Shemen bar Abba and raises the following problem to Rav Papa. He says, you Rav Papa, who suggested earlier in the Gemara that you can leave the fats of the carbon on the mizbeach overnight, because then we assume that that would be okay to offer after the carbon tamid. So Rav Shimon bar Abba asks Rav Papa, he says, aren't you setting up the Kohanim to violate an Aveira? Because what's going to happen the Kohanim are going to think that those fats are from a carbon that was offered today, and they're going to come to offer it after the carbon tumah, and that's going to pose a problem. In other words, if they see that the fats are there the entire night that of the animal that was shechted and the zrikas hadam was already done prior to the carbon tumah, they're just going to assume that these fats were from a carbon that was offered earlier that day, and they're going to burn them. But you're not supposed to do that, because Rapapa said that these fats that are left on the mizbech overnight were from the carbon that was not yet offered before the carbon tumah. So the Gemara asks, can't this lead to a serious problem if the Kohanim will come to mistakenly burn these fats? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says no. He says, Amarlik Kohanim's reason, Hain. Rapapa says, no, that's not a concern, because as we know from many other places in Shas, the Kohanim were exceptionally diligent when it came to the Avoda of the carbon. So the assumption was that the Kohanim would realize that these fats were from a carbon that was not yet offered, and you know, for whatever reason, they would not mistake that with other types of fats. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amarlik Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, Va'amrila Rav Huna Bered Rav Nasa Rav Papa, the Hakama de lo Miskatri Emurin Kohanim lo Matsu Achli Basar. Disanya Yachol Yu Kohanim. So the Gemara points out two things over here. The Gemara says, first of all, that before you offer the innards, the fats of the animal, so the Kohanim are not permitted to eat from their karbanos. That's a pasuk in Parshas Tzav, where the Torah says that the Kohen has to offer up the fats of the animal on the Mizbeach, and then only after that, then and only then can the Kohanim partake of the thigh and the breast of the animal. And moreover, the Gemara says that the owner cannot get kapara for whatever sin he's trying to atone, let's say in this case of being a Mitzora, until the Kohanim partake of the Karban. So the problem is, again, this is like a fundamental problem with the entire Gemara, which is, how can the Gemara say that, oh, we'll just bring the Karban Chathas later on and it's not a problem? That implies that the Kohanim can still partake of the Karban, and the owner can still get Kapara even before bringing the last Karban. But that's clearly not the case, because the Gemara says the only way that the Kohanim can partake of the Karban is if all of the Karbanas were already offered. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Lei, Kevon Delo Efshar Asom Kimi Shenitmu Osha Avdu, Desan Yayachol Nitmu Emurin Osha Avdu Lo Yehu Kohanim Zaka En Mechazav Eshok, Tamad Lomar Vayoye Chazel Yaron Uvanav Mikol Makom. The Gemara says, basically, because you don't have any other options, you don't have any other recourse in this case, because you're stuck, so we make an allowance in this case to let the Kohanim partake of the Karban, despite the fact that the Karban Chatas was not yet offered. Even though it's not ideal, but the Gemara derives from the Pasuk Vayoye Chazel Yaron Uvanav, that even if it was a case where, for whatever reason, not all the karbanos were offered, so b'diavad we say the Kohanim are still allowed to partake of the karban, even though not all the karbanos were offered for the mitzvah. Okay, then the Gemara points out Rav Kahana Rame Ksiv Lo Yalin Chelav Chagi Ad Boker Hu Delo Yalin Hakol Halayla Kula Yalin Uchsiv Hektiro Lechelav Ashlamim Aleha Hashlem Kol Hakarbanos Kulan. The Gemara presents what appears to be a contradiction between two psukim. If a pasuk appears in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Kisisa that says Lo Yalin Chelav Chagi Ad Boker, you're not allowed to leave the fats of a chelav of a chagi of a carbon chagiga until the morning. So the implication is that yeah, you can't leave it till the morning, but you are allowed to leave it over for the duration of the night before alos hashachar. But then the problem is that you have the other pasuk which we've been talking a lot about for the last 2 days in Parshas Tzav, v'hiktira leha chelav shlamim, which teaches me that you cannot bring any carbonos after the carbon tamid shel bein arba, which seems to be like an outright contradiction. In other words, either you have to finish your carbonos before the carbon tamid, or you can leave everything over until alos hashachar. So which one is it? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, who most of love, who mefarikla, kishani toser. So the Gemara says, no, the case is where the guy left over the fats or the innards of the animal. In other words, he already did the zrika. He already offered the animal prior to the carbon tamid. It was just that he didn't get a chance to actually offer up the fats of the animal on the mizbeach before the carbon tamid shabein harbayim was offered. So in that case, the Gemara says you can leave it over until the evening. But if the entire animal was, if nothing was done from that animal before the carbon tamid was offered in the first place, so then of course you're not allowed to offer it after the carbon tamid. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rami Leir of Safra Lerav, Ksiv lo yolin labuker zevach chaga pasach, labuker hu delo Yolin Hakol Alayla Yolin V'Hachsiv Olas Shabbos V'Shabbatu V'Lo Olas Chol B'Shabbos V'Lo Olas Chol B'Yantiv. Now we have another contradiction between two psukim. In Parshas Kisis, the Torah says that you're not allowed to leave the fats or the meat of the carbon of the carbon chagiga on Pesach until the morning, which again implies you can leave it over for the duration of the night. But on the other hand, the Torah also tells us in Parshas Pinchas Olas Shabbos B'Shabbatu that a carbon ola can only be offered on that Shabbos, which means that you're not allowed to burn the fats of a carbon ola from a weekday on Shabbos Shabbos or a weekday Karban Ola on Yontif. So the Gemara says no. Amar le kvar ram yini halei Rav Abba bar Chila Rabbi Avo v'shani le hacha ba'arba asar shecholios b'Shabbos askinan dechel v'Shabbos kraven b'yom tov. The Gemara says you're right. This case that we're dealing with in the pasuk here is where Erev Pesach falls out on our Shabbos. So if Erev Pesach falls out on our Shabbos, so then you are allowed to burn the fats of the Shabbos Karban on Yontif. In other words, the restriction that we're deriving from the pasuk Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato teaches me that I can't burn weekday carbon fats on Shabbos or Yontif, but the pasuk never says anything about burning Shabbos carbon fats on Yontif. That's okay. So the Gemara asks, "Amar lim yishum dechel v'Shabbos kraven b'Yontif anan niku v'nemalei d'hai krabba arba aser shecholios b'Shabbos u'dichsiv." The Gemara says this seems like a very very dochak interpretation of the pasuk. In other words, to reinterpret an entire pasuk in Parshas Pinchas to say that pasuk was only talking about a case where erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos seems a very very restrictive way of understanding that pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, Amar le shavki lekrut who dachik umukim anashe." The Gemara says, "What choice do we have? The pasuk is almost screaming out at us that we have to interpret it that way. There's no other way to understand that pasuk." Right? In other words, you have to say that the pasuk is talking about a case where erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, because otherwise you run into this brick wall of the fact that you're not allowed to offer the fats of a karban from the weekday on Shabbos or Yotze. Because again, remember, the karban Pesach was offered on erev Pesach, so it's technically a weekday karban. So if erev Pesach was on a Shabbos, then it makes sense. Then I understand why I can burn the fats of the Karban Pesach on Yontif, because it's fundamentally a Shabbos Karban that's being burnt on Yontif. But if Erev Pesach was not on a Shabbos, so then there's no justification to burn the fats of that animal on Yontif. Okay.
When we say we can offer the Karban after the Karban, you know, Tamid of Harvaya.
Yeah.
When we say we can't offer, are we saying we can't do tchita.
So that was part of the Gemara's answer earlier. Remember, the Gemara said that the Gemara was trying to resolve the contradiction between these two psukim about whether you can leave it over the whole night or not. So one of the answers the Gemara suggested was the idea that if you started the process of offering, let's say you did the Zrikas Adam already, but for whatever reason you didn't get around to offering the fats of the animal yet, so then yes, you can offer those the entire night. So again, as we'll see as we go on in this Gemara, that there are different stages in terms, as we know, there are four different processes that involve every carbon. So, Shechita, yeah.
Zrikas seems to be pretty much the finalization.
It is. Zrikas.
We're gonna
discuss as we go on really in the next Gemara and really more in the next couple of days. We're gonna see that there are a lot of variations of this question about what if a person did shechita the right way but not zrika, or vice versa. We'll see as we go on. The Gemara is gonna discuss a lot of these cases. Okay, so the Mishnah now says HaPesach sheshachtu shelo lishmo v'kibel v'holach v'zarak shelo lishmo o lishmo v'shelo lishmo o shelo lishmo v'lishmo pasul. So the Mishnah has all these different variations of cases. Let's say I have a carbon Pesach and I shechted the carbon Pesach, the act of shechita I did shelo lishma. What does it mean exactly to do shelo lishma? So we'll see in the Mishnah in a second. But basically, it means that I shechted it for the sake of the wrong carbon. So let's say I shechted the carbon Pesach for the sake of a shlamim, or the sake of an ola, or a chatas, or whatever. So the Mishnah says, let's say I did a shechita for the wrong reasons, but everything else, the Kabbalah, the Holacha, and the Zrika, all the other steps of the carbon I did for the right reasons, or vice versa. Or let's say I did both for the wrong reasons, or I did one for the right reason and one for the wrong reason, or, you know, some variation of that. So in all of those cases, it's possible. In other words, the bottom line is that if any stage of the offering of a carbon process was done for the wrong reasons, then the entire carbon is pasul. So the Mishnah asks, "Ketzad lishmo v'shelo lishmo?" What's the case? L'shem Pesach u'l'shem Shlamim, shelo lishmo v'lishmo l'shem Shlamim u'l'shem Pesach. So again, a person can also have dual kavanah. So let's say you start by shechting at l'shem the carbon Pesach, and then you change your mind. You want to shecht it for a Shlamim, or vice versa. In both of those cases, the carbon is going to be invalid. So the Gemara asks, "Boy Rav Papa, ba'avoda achas tenan o b'shtei avodos tenan, ba'avoda achas tenan v'Rab Yosi he de'amar af b'gmar dvar of Adam nispa." The Ira Meir Ha'amar Tfos Lashon Rishon Odoma B'Shtei Avodos Tanan Va'afilu L'Rabbi Meir De Amar Tfos Lashon Rishon Hanimile Ba'Avoda Achas Avo B'Shtei Avodos Mode De Mifsil. So the Gemara now presents a very technical machlokas about how to understand this Mishnah. Our Mishnah was saying that a person can have, as we just pointed out a second ago, can have dual kavanas. Right? A person can have a kavana to do one thing lishmar, one thing shelo lishmar. So the question that Rav Papa raises is that idea that a person can have, you know, multiple kavanas in the same karban, is that within the same avoda? In other words, does that mean that let's say halfway through my shechita, I could start up by thinking I want this to be the shame carbon Pesach, and then 2 seconds later I want it to be the shame carbon Shlamim? That's one option. The other option is that is that I could change my mind from one avoda to the next. So I could do the entire act of shechita for the sake of the Karban Pesach, but then I do the halacha, the Kabbalah, the Zrika, whatever it is, for the sake of a Karban Shlamim, let's say. So that's Rapapa's question. What exactly underlies this question? So the Gemara says that this is a general machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir regarding how seriously or how literally do we take a person. So Rabbi Yossi holds that af bigmar dvarav adam nisvas. We actually alluded to this Gemara a little bit earlier, where Rabbi Yossi holds that a person is held accountable for everything they say, including the last word. So if a person says, for example, I want to offer this karban l'shem Pesach u l'shem Shlamim, we also hold you accountable for those last words where you said, I want to offer it l'shem Shlamim. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, we only say tfos lashon rishon. According to Rabbi Meir, we only give credence to the first thing you said. So if the first thing you said was l'shem Pesach, we ignore everything that you say subsequently, and we assume that the karban is going to be thou. That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara explains, Amri Ahea, what was the context of this statement? Inema asher lo l'shmo v'lishmo, bein ba'avoda achas, bein b'shtei avodos, bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbi Yossi, if sulemi kamaisa, t'holo Rabbi Yossi nami af b'gemar dvarav adam nispas islay, ela alishmo v'shalo lishmo mai. So the Gemara clarifies. The Gemara says, if the case is where the guy again had this dual kavana, where, in other words, let's say he started out shalo lishma and then it became lishma, and whether that's within one avoda, meaning let's say he had that dual kavana in, let's say, within shchita, or he had a dual kavana for multiple avodas, for shchita to kabbalah, to halacha, to zrika, etc. Whether you hold like Rabbi Meir or like Rabbi Yossi, again, whether you assume that we give credence to the last thing the guy said or not, either way, the Gemara says that we are going to disqualify his initial kavana, because Rabbi Yossi, as we just pointed out, holds that a person is also held accountable for what a person said last. So everything you said is going to be taken into account, which means that we're going to disqualify the karban. But the question is, what if it's the opposite case? In other words, what if your initial kavana was for the right thing? So you started out by thinking, I want this to be a Karban Pesach, and then you changed your mind. So now the question is, well, how do we pass it? Because that seems to be the very machlokas between Rameir and Rabbi Yossi. Because again, according to Rameir, we only take seriously the first thing that you thought, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, we take into account everything. So what would the halacha be? So the Gemara says, Tashma, ha-Pesach she-shachtu shelo lishmo, the kiba v'halach v'zarach shelo lishmo hichidami. What's the case where you shechted the Karban, you know, for the wrong reasons, but then everything else was also done for the wrong reasons? So the Gemara says, Ini makidik tane, the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the guy had the wrong intentions the whole way through, in other words, the whole time he was thinking about bringing a Karban Shlamim, then why does the Gemara even have to get on to the later stages of Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika? The Karban should be possible right away. The second the guy has that wrong Kavana by Shchita, the whole Karban should be disqualified automatically. So the Gemara says, El Olav Hachi Katane, HaPesach Sheshachtu Shalo Lishmo, Inami Shachtu Lishmo, Vekiba V'Holach V'Zarak Shalo Lishmo, Inami Shachtu Vekiba V'Holach Shmo V'Zarak Shalo Lishmo, Tahavi L'Shtei Avodos. So the Gemara says the only case that seems to make any sense here is where a guy was having a transition of thought from one avoda to the next. So he did the shchita for the right reasons, but everything else for the wrong reasons. Or he did the shchita for the wrong reasons and everything else for the right reasons. Again, or whatever variation of that you want to construct. The problem is, however, the Gemara says Ema Seifa Lishmo V'Shalo Lishmo Hechidami. So what's the opposite case? What's the case where a guy starts out with the right kavana but then transitions to the wrong kavana? If that case is where, let's say, the guy for the shchita had the right kavana, but then for the later avodos had the wrong kavana, that's the same as the first case we just said. If there was a transition in kavana from one avoda to the next, that's going to pose a problem. So the Gemara says, El olav ba'avoda achas v'Rab Yossi d'amar af b'gmar dvar avodam nispas. So therefore, the Gemara says, don't you have to say that this is a case where the guy had a transition of kavana within one avoda? So he started out the shchita with the right kavana, then he transitioned midway through the shchita to the wrong kavana. And this Gemara would presumably have to follow Rabbi Yossi, who says that we hold a person accountable even for the last thing that he said, which means that if you started out by thinking, I want this to be a Karban Pesach, and then 2 seconds later you said, I want this to be a Karban Shlamim, that should pose a problem, which would seem to be a decisive proof that we follow Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Meir. So,
Rabbi,
yeah.
I have a good question.
Go ahead, yeah.
But we know a person can do the Shechita. All the rest of the avodas have been done by the Kohen. So
yeah.
If I do the Shechita, properly,
right?
Then the Kohen takes over,
right?
But then he starts to do his Zrika and the Kabbalah.
You're saying if it's two different people involved, you're saying would that
and during when the towing takes over,
yeah,
I'm starting to think, oh, maybe that carbon should be.
That might also pose a problem. You're right. I mean, that the Gemara doesn't specifically discuss the case where there's a czar doing, even though a czar is allowed to do shechita, as you pointed out. The Gemara doesn't discuss the case, but I would assume that the same halacha should apply there as well. If anyone involved in any of the avodos of the carbon has the wrong kavana, that should disqualify the whole thing. That's basically what the Gemara is saying. Yeah, I think that would be the case there as well. I'm saying the Gemara happens to be discussing a case of a Kohen doing everything, but again, as Billy pointed out, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. Correct.
They had two karbanos that they had to give, a chagiga and a pesach.
Right.
Didn't they have a check system to make sure that they're not confusing the stuff?
Well, no. But I'm saying here this is not like confusing the chagiga and the pesach. This is like a guy. I mean, again, you could construct a few cases. Either the guy could be malicious and he wants to disqualify the guy's karban, or maybe, I don't know, the guy's mind was just stam, was wandering. He wasn't focusing, and he thought about a different karban or whatever it was. So I'm saying that there are a lot of reasons why a guy might have the wrong kavana, but the bottom line is the Gemara says if at any stage you have the wrong kavana, even within the same avoda, it sounds like from the Gemara we have to throw the whole thing out, and that would seem to imply that we passing like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says no, it's not true. Olam b'shtei avodos v'reisha dekoy b'shchita v'kamechashi b'shchita inami koy b'zrika v'kamechashi b'zrika. Seifa dekoy b'shchita v'kachashiv b'zrika. To Amar harini shochet as a pesach l'shmo lizrok damo shalol l'shmo v'kamash malad demechashvin me'avoda la'avoda v'ayinu baya derav papa. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says that there's a slight nuance that we missed in this case. The Gemara says the case is where I'm in the middle of shechting and I'm not thinking about the shchita per se. I'm thinking about the future already. I'm thinking about the zrika. So let's say I do my shchita properly. All my kavanas are good. Everything's fine. But I'm thinking in the back of my head, you know what? I want the zrika to be done for a shlomim, for whatever. So the Gemara says that's going to be a problem. Why is that such a big chiddush? The Gemara says because this is what the Gemara calls mechashvin me'avoda la'avoda. This is a Gemara in Menachos and other places where the Gemara tells us that a person can have disqualifying thoughts when they're in a different avoda, which is actually a pretty big chiddush. Because again, in other words, I wouldn't have necessarily said that. I would have said that each kavana, each machshava has to be limited, you know, per each avoda. So the chiddush of the Gemara here is that even though you're having a kavana for a different step of the process, that can also disqualify everything. That's the chiddush of the Gemara.